Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. 800-531-3815. Chad Motre is our guest.
Hello, welcome,
Chad. It's good to have you here. Folks, Chad is the Chief Economist and Director of the Office of Economic Research at the Office of Advocacy, which is part of the U.S. Small Business Administration. Chad, it's good to have you back.
It's great to be back. It's been about 4 or 5 months, maybe, I think.
Yeah, maybe so. It's been too long, though. We waited too long. We got to get you back on a little sooner in the future, because you always have some good things to talk to us about. Chad, you've been going out into the marketplace, into the hinterlands, and talking to small business owners, haven't you?
I have. One of our goals when I became chief economist a little over a year ago was to make sure people actually were reading what we were putting out. You know, we had a goal of putting out 15 to 20 pieces of research products a year, and we had no idea really whether anyone was actually looking at it. By going out and talking to academics and just seeing exactly, you know, are you reading what we put out? And if you are, what can we do to really serve, we're the government, but our customer base or our constituents? And so it's been a huge learning process, I think, for us in terms of giving us some direction. And hopefully some of our strategies over the next few years will kind of be shaped by those conversations.
Right. Well, what did you find when you went out there? What did people tell you?
But, you know, it's no surprise. You know, we're economists, and so economists love data. And there's not a lot of data out there, as you know, Jim. And that continues to be a frustration, I think, for a lot of academics. And so any way that we can try to help and try to improving the number of data sources, I think, will be helpful.
What data do you think is lacking?
Well, you know, some other countries have a lot more data on business startups and closures and all that dynamic type
really?
Of stuff.
More than we do.
So we really are somewhat hindered by the fact that due to privacy concerns, we really, a lot of the microdata that a lot of researchers would be using is really off limits, or at least is controlled by the fact that we don't want people seeing, you know, how much you make
right.
if you're a small business.
Right.
And, you know, those concerns are legitimate, and yet researchers really could use data like from the IRS or whatever that really would be able to improve our understanding of how small businesses operate, and, for instance, are they all taking Section 172 exemptions, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, another reason why it would seem to me that we probably, it'd be a little more difficult to get your hands around our information than, say, another country, say, a European country, is because of the sheer numbers. Because European countries don't have the startup levels that we do here in the United States.
That's true. I mean, I think it was just reported in the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor that the U.S. continues to be the number one country in terms of entrepreneurial activity. So, yeah, you're right. It's huge.
Well, it's because of our history. It's because of what we've accomplished in the last couple of hundred years, and the way we have created what we have here. And the fact that we have the liberties to do that, we've got the capital in place. We don't have hundreds and hundreds of years of baggage, having been under this country was never under a king. We didn't have any kind of a serfdom type of situation like a lot of those countries did. And so it's in our nature to be self-determined, isn't it?
But aside from data, the other thing I think we've been learning is that, you know, business people are really, or business faculty are all eager to use our stuff. And we are, I think, going to try to tailor some of our products so that the classroom will be kind of friendly for some of our research. And one of our initiatives over the next few years is to try to get our research in the hands of business faculty and economics faculty, so the students, because those, of course, are the future entrepreneurs and the future researchers. We really want to make sure more people are looking at small business economics and entrepreneurship in terms of the curriculum. And so that's one of the huge goals that Tom Sullivan and I have to do over the next few years.
I'm sure you're noticing what I'm noticing, and that is that more and more colleges and universities are installing entrepreneurial programs, entrepreneurial curriculum.
Yeah, I was just back to my alma mater, Eastern, on Eastern Illinois University on Monday and Tuesday, and they're getting ready to do an entrepreneurship center, and they're one of many, and I think that that's a good thing, that really economic growth, particularly in a rural area like Eastern Illinois, I think that that's something that they really want to target, and I think it'll really improve the business school for doing it. And
no question about it. We've had two different universities, Vanderbilt and Ohio State University. We've had members of their entrepreneurial program on the show before, and I just talked to someone recently at Brigham Young University that's interested in getting some information from us, and it's very interesting to see this. I want to talk about this some more and how you can contribute, how you're going to be contributing to that right after these messages. It's 20 Tales. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Chad Moutre.
Thanks.
We're back at 17 Till. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, we have got a couple of ladies who want to join us. Junior Reed and Dr. Ann Coates is going to join us. We're going to talk about how to eat healthy, eating out. And boy, this is something I need to be, that I'm anxious to hear about, because I eat out quite a bit during the week, and I could use a little bit of advice on how to eat out and be a little healthier, and maybe knock a couple of pounds off. And then after that, Arkie C. and Cuddy's got a new way of looking at leadership. And you know who Arkie is. He's our trust expert. And he and his co-author are coming out with a new book on a different way of leading our people. And I'm looking forward to getting his thoughts on that. And that's coming up in the hour straight ahead. And by the way, that is an exclusive. Nobody else is going to have that information. You're going to be hearing it before anybody else in the world. And that's going to be coming up in the next hour. Chad Moutre is our guest. He's chief economist with the Office of Advocacy over at the U.S. Small Business Administration. And, Chad, we were talking about the helping academians to understand about small business, and because they're working on these entrepreneurship programs all over the country, and I'm so glad that they're doing that. But I'm proud of what you're doing, because one of the things that you're doing, and I'm trying to do this too, Chad, I'm trying to help these academians ground their entrepreneurial programs in the real marketplace, not in the fictitious marketplace, the theoretical marketplace.
Yeah, one of the things that's come up in all of our focus groups, we've been doing a number of focus groups in each of the SBA regions, is that, you know, if you look at college textbooks are all geared to large business.
Right.
Every example is large business, the
right.
case studies are large business.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the women in Nashville, Tennessee, from the SBDC down there, said that she has people coming to her all the time who are struggling with their business, they don't know how to get their business going, and they're embarrassed to admit that they're business majors.
Right.
And I think that really speaks volumes about the business schools of today, that they really have to consider the fact that half of all Americans go work for a small business. And they're not
that number is going to only increase, Chad.
Yeah, and so we're just assuming that these graduates are going to go out there and work for a large firm like IBM or Microsoft, and they might, and that's great. But half of them aren't, and we need to make sure that those people also get the skills that are required to run a small business and not just some large firm.
Well, I can tell you that there are many things about a business degree that migrate just fine to a small business. But a lot of the stuff that you got to go through to be a small business owner have not been taught in college. Much of the stuff has not been taught in college or in any school situation.
And that's
one of the reasons why we've had the high failure rate. And I'll tell you something else, Chad. Not only did it contribute to the failure rate, it contributed to the start rate. And I'll explain what I mean by that. People started businesses without realizing, without understanding the pitfalls and the dangers and the challenges that were there. If they'd been a little more educated, they would have said, you know what? I'm not ready for this. I don't have my stuff together for this. And they wouldn't even have started the business, an ill-conceived business.
Yeah, you know, the business plan really is the key. And even today, you know, a lot of times we kind of got carried away in the later 90s with the dot-coms. And people started putting businesses together just because they had a dot-com after their name, and
they
failed. I think the lesson that we learned over the last 5 years is that a strong business plan matters, even in small business, even large business, even in technology. And I think that students need to understand what it really involves to open up a small business, the hours that's involved, the different types of financing that might be involved. You know, Charles Owen, our office, always does the lending study every year. And looking at some of the Federal Reserve data, you know, 46% of all businesses admit that they've used personal credit cards at some point during
I've talked to those guys on the show. I've had a lot of entrepreneurs, and they admit it readily. They admit, you know what, I used credit cards when I needed to, and you know what, it helped them.
Yeah, it helps with that short-term cash flow, and you know, small businesses just don't have the financing options that the large guys do, and you know, those types of differences I think really need to be stressed as much as possible.
Let's talk about the research summary that you published recently. Tell us about some of the things you've learned about startups.
Well, you know, we use the panel study of entrepreneurial dynamics in this study, and I don't know how many people are familiar with that.
Tell us what that is.
The Kauffman Foundation, as well as actually advocacy fairly early on, was involved in the funding of it. They go and they ask people, are you in the process of starting up a business or not? And if you are, then they continue to track you over a period of time and they ask you a number of questions. And really what it allows us to do is get inside the psyche, really, of people who are starting up a business. Who are they? What are the characteristics? What kind of financing are they looking at? How long is it taking them to start up the business, et cetera? And we've learned an enormous amount from that. You know, for instance, businesses, it takes a long time for many people to start up their business. And it could take years. Some people are just thinking about it, and by the time they actually put some money to the paper, to the actual idea, it could be a year or so into the thought process.
Or many years.
Or many years. And some of them might have never even got it off the ground. But the one thing that this particular research study did was look at those people. How much does it actually take to actually start up your business? And the expected startup rate was $6,000 to launch a new venture, which is a pretty low number.
That is low. Mm-hmm.
It's low. Now, again, it's expected.
Now, wait, let me ask you, is that the number that they thought they needed, or is that the number that they said they actually wound up needing?
That's the number that they thought they needed.
Right, and therein lies the part of the problem right there, Chad.
You know, that's the thought number. And for team ventures, meaning, you know, more than one person, the expected number was 20,000.
Mm-hmm.
So in many ways, it might not mirror reality, and yet it also shows that people are expecting to start up a business with very little money. You know,
right.
People, when they think of starting up new ventures, they're thinking, mm-hmm. I need thousands of dollars, you know, and in reality, it could be a small number.
Well,
many ventures could be very small, in other words.
Stand by, Chad. We've got to take a quick break. And Chad, as my audience knows, I've always said that it's redundant to say undercapitalized small business. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Got a ball.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend, Chad Moutre, who's Chief Economist with the Office of Advocacy over at the SBA. Chad, give us your website. We need to know more about the Office of Advocacy.
It's www.sba.gov/ADVO. ADVO.
SBA.gov. You know that website very well, folks. In fact, the administrator is going to be on the show next Wednesday for my 6th anniversary week. Chad, I'm looking forward to getting him back on. But you know that website, folks, SBA.gov, just add /ADVO for advocate on the end of that. And a lot of good information. And the main thing that I know about your organization, Chad, one of the main things is you guys make sure that if there are any laws passed that with regard to regulations especially, that you guys get a look at it to make sure that they don't inherently harm small business on their face. And you do what you can to prevent that from happening, don't you?
Yes, we do. And there's a number of rules out right now. The do not fax is a huge issue. The country of origin labeling is another huge issue. So hopefully small businesses, if they notice some rule or regulation that's really going to be a pain that's coming down the pike, they should let our office know. We have a reg alerts page on our website that they can let our advocates know about.
Right.
Issues.
If there's something that you know about, folks, that you think is going to harm small business, you need to let Chad and Tom Sullivan and their organization know about this. And if you don't remember how to get in touch with them, get in touch with me, and I'll put you straight through to them. And you know, Chad, one of the things I was excited about, the Office of Advocacy has been around a long time, and it's been has had some success. But the within the last, I guess, year and a half, the president said, "Wait a minute, Congress, you need to understand, I'm serious about what we're doing. The guys are doing there at the Office of Advocacy, and I'm putting some extra teeth into their charter." And he did that, didn't he?
He did. In August of last year, he did Executive Order 13272, which gave us additional responsibilities with regard to regulatory flexibility. And right now, as we speak, we're doing training at the agencies on how to do small business economic impact analysis, and I think it's going great.
Right.
The more we can get those federal agencies institutionalizing those small business impacts, I think the stronger off we can be in terms of our position and hopefully for small business.
Right.
Have fewer burdensome regulations in the future.
I want to get back to your research, Summer. We got a couple of minutes left, Chad, because your research survey that you conducted recently on startup businesses, what else did you learn about what people thought was going to be they could expect from starting a business?
I think one of the other big lessons from this study is team ventures. That whenever you're going to start up a new business, if you have more than one person, that they tend to have grander expectations in terms of their future revenues, in terms of actually hiring new employees. And the authors actually go on to suggest that you know, we should look at ways to try to promote more teams in terms of new startups, because they do tend to have greater outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
That was an interesting finding. I don't know the reasons why behind it, but I do know that there are grander expectations for teams.
Well, the thing about teams, there's good news and bad news about teams. The bad news is you got two people who are, or three or four people, however many, who are obviously, you know, highly motivated, but they're not all motivated the same way. So sometimes some people work harder than others, and some people are a little bossier than others. So you got that whole human dynamic going on that can be good or bad. But the good part of that, the good side of that is that you're not alone. And see, that's the part about being a sole entrepreneur, a sole owner, is there's a lot of times when you feel like you're all alone, and that can be pretty heavy, Chad.
It can. And one of the point I want to make, because it kind of ties in with what I was saying earlier, is that the panel study of entrepreneurial dynamics that I was referencing earlier, it shows that education is a huge component in terms of startups. That those individuals who have higher levels of education, whether it be a bachelor's degree, master's degree, even if it's not business or entrepreneurship, tend to be more successful. And they also tend to have more employees. So education really matters when it comes to small business startups.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the lesson I go back. When I go back to the schools, I always tell them, you know, you're doing a good job. Keep it up.
So. Right. Well, Chad, you guys are doing a good job, too. And be sure to give Tom Sullivan, your boss, our very best. He's a good friend of ours, and tell him we said hello. And congratulations on your work, on the success you've been having, and keep us posted on all this.
I will. I hope you'll be back soon.
You will be. Chad Mottray, ladies and gentlemen, chief economist with the Office of Advocacy over at the SBA. He'll be back real soon. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.